to illustrate the desire and determination of ordinary people to work together with each other to produce what they need without the need for profit-driven capital, we went back into the Old Moles archives for this review by our movie moles, Denise Morris and Jan Hocken, of the documentary film The Garden. Here is Denise.
I'm Denise Morris. I'm here this morning with Jan Hocken to talk about the film The Garden, 2008 documentary. The documentary focuses on the South Central Farm, which was an urban farm and community garden located in the industrial area of Southern California known as South Central Los Angeles. This 14-acre farm was in operation between 1994 and 2006 and served as a critical source of sustenance for the South Central farmers, approximately 350 low-income families from the surrounding area. And this primarily Latino community created a self-governing organization that transformed a property into one of the largest urban gardens in the United States. And it is their struggle to hold on to this 14-acre oasis in the desert that is the subject of Scott Hamilton Kennedy's 2008 documentary, The Garden, which also was nominated for an Academy Award. Jan, filmmakers describe the garden as having the pulse of verite with a narrative pull of fiction, and it tells the story of the country's largest urban farm, backroom deals, land developers, green politics, money, poverty, power, and racial discord. It's got a lot going on. And in a sense, that is not an unlikely scenario that unfolds, as the farm really was kind of born out of flames, so to speak, as it came about in 1994 post riots in South Central Los Angeles,
as also
result,
known as uprisings.
As uprisings, yeah, I know everybody
correct you
uses
on that one.
The term riots, but. And the farm was given as sort of an appeasement in some ways. There were appeasements being doled out. One of them became this 14-acre plot of property that was not being used at the time.
And there's a kind of irony in the as the story unfolds that it was the property was claimed through eminent domain, a political issue that itself is interesting as it unfolds and who benefits from seizing property where the state can seize property or enforce owners to sell in the interest of the public good. And that's one storyline here, how that unfolds. But it was originally purchased by the state under eminent domain laws as a waste incinerator site. And of course, that whole area, industrial area, produces a lot of waste that poor people, low-income people, suffer under the burden of in ways that people live in the hills, you know, in that all that lush greenery of Southern California in the hills. Remove from the industrial heartland and enjoy. So this is an area that was initially meant to be a waste incinerator site. In response to community opposition, the county abandoned that plan. And then these local farmers created this lush and wonderful experiment and realized a vision of urban farming. And there are 150 types of plants. They use very little water. There was a permaculture concept. So it was also a living laboratory in urban farming, and the skill and sophistication of this project made it, the property owner seizing it and leveling it, a particularly obscene act of violence against the community and a kind of inconsolable tragedy. But maybe we can talk then more about what we take of a story that ends so tragically.
Yeah, because I think what drew me to the film, or drew me in, was really the way that that the film is able to take us through the struggles, and really with great opportunity, getting inside of that community at a time when this crisis unfolds. The farm having been operating for 10 years, and then in 2004, the notice goes up that they will be evicted, and then ensues a 2-year struggle to keep the farm. So the film really takes us through the struggle and introduces us to the people who kind of lead that on somewhat on behalf of the community, but by no means the community of farmers are very involved. Everybody learns a lot. There's as you say, the Goliath on the outside, and then there's the internal struggles that people have to kind of sort out. So in the midst of trying to navigate what are really very sometimes complex legal issues. There's also the personalities of council people and this just cynical political process that unfolds.
Yeah,
that up against the struggle of people to maintain the spirit of the farm and the spirit of their community while trying to hold on to something so dear and struggle against something so fierce.
There was also this theme of the Black community that had organized initially in opposition to the incinerator and was a player in the politics around the land, and then political players seem working against the South Central farmers and seeming to make a deal with the developer over kind of greasing the wheels of this deal through the LA County system, but the council. And I think the film draws out some how, you know, the landlord, the property owner is Jewish, and there were some charges that, you know, anti-Semitic slurs, and then the slurs against the farmers who are Latino, and then Blacks who also had been displaced from this community and had a very small but advanced grip on the political system over the Latinos, and how these ethnic differences and kind of racial histories get pulled into the conflict. And of course, in the film, they caution against that, you know, anti-Semitism particularly, that, you know, one guy says, you know, we've been called awful things too. Let's not go there.
Right.
But the tension, particularly between the Black community and the Latino community over this, was the center of the drama. And I think that's an ongoing struggle, how you bring people together who are in some ways pitted against each other.
Yeah, and I think the film does a fair job of demonstrating that one group isn't wholly good or wholly evil. However, you know, one criticism we may have is that the film, to maybe sort through or sift through these dynamics a little bit better.
Well, virtue is clearly on the side of the South Central farmers.
Yeah, of course.
Who were these sort of salt of the earth people. Mm-hmm. And I think fair enough to take the side of everyday people against the powers that be, but I think it was intentionally avoiding some romanticizing of them by bringing in their struggles too.
Right.
But it's always difficult in managing that.
Right. And not try to be liberal and fair on the side of the politicians or the landowners at all, but from below, the struggles that people face in their communities, the struggle around lack of resources, lack of opportunity, lack of development. And I think what the film does do, where it's not, you know, perhaps explaining some of the backdrop or the history, we mentioned that the decisions post Rodney King that let the officers off. Also preceding that was a shooting of a young Black girl by a Korean store owner that was also really inflamed tension. So there were a number of things that had happened in that area that had tensions really brewing. So I think the film does sort of take us a little bit through having to question, you know, how it is that communities heal themselves. And the garden is just one example of ways that people can heal themselves. But in the end, I think one of the struggles for activists around all of this stuff may be the questions about, you know, to what degree can we transform these places? Los Angeles is a desert. Like, South Central is this industrialized. We see the aerial view as we come down into seeing the farm. It is just a wasteland of buildings and streets and cars. And
without a kind of Disneyland Magic Kingdom idea mm-hmm. to embrace here, I think there is something to be said for projects that show how much human capacity to transform their world can work in an ecological way, as opposed to mowing it down and imposing mm-hmm. a capital-intensive infrastructure on it. That this was an incredible experiment and a successful one that comes out of generations of knowledge of how to produce food in very small places in deserts. And mm-hmm. so I think what we see as empty space is always through the eyes of, you know, kind of a colonizing, highly exploitive, wasteful civilization where the idea of progress is to mow it down and then bring in irrigation. And so I think this...
Or leave it empty in the case of the garden, which is currently still undeveloped.
Though it was quite heartening to read about a lawsuit that the developer threw at the protesters for damages, filed a suit for damages against him, even though the property is made like, you know, tens of millions on it. It was thrown out as a slap suit, strategic lawsuit against public participation. But I think whether the courts are the best place to pursue these struggles is another question the film raises. Because it's a long, grueling battle that lawyers on the other side often have more artillery to fight and longer, fight longer over.
Yeah, and resources, et cetera.
But it's a wonderful film.
It really is. It's a great film for activists. It's a great tale. It really, I think, unfolds a lot of the struggles that many activists will find resonance with. So.
Yeah, and to carry it on, to carry on those projects.
Right. Well, we're talking about The Gardens, the documentary film The Garden. It's available through the library, also Netflix. I'm Denise Morris with Jan Hocken for the Old Mole Variety Hour.
Stardust, we are going.